This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. At a campaign-style rally last night in Phoenix, President Trump suggested he's likely to pardon the man once called America's toughest sheriff. Joe Arpaio, the former sheriff of Maricopa County, Arizona, has acted as a national lightning rod for his treatment of prisoners and undocumented immigrants. In July, a federal judge convicted Arpaio of contempt of court for disobeying a court order requiring him to stop detaining suspected undocumented immigrants. Joining us to discuss it from KJZZ Public Radio is Jude Joffe Block, a reporter based in Phoenix. She's also a fellow at New America and a former senior field correspondent for KJZZ and the Fronteras Desk, a network of public media stations covering immigration and border issues in the Southwest. Jude Joffe Block, welcome to 1A.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
I should note we're only discussing Sheriff Joe Arpaio for this first segment of the program before we move on. So if you have questions or thoughts that you'd like to share, do send them in right away. Email us 1A@WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. Jude, remind us who Joe Arpaio is and why he proved so controversial.
Well, Joe Arpaio was sheriff of Maricopa County for 24 years. He was first elected in 1993. And starting in the mid-2000s, he gained a national profile on immigration. But before that, he'd even been famous for things like chain gangs, pink underwear, making inmates sleep outside in tents. But in the mid-2000s, immigration became a hot topic in Arizona, and he responded by really trailblazing a role for his local sheriff's office to crack down on illegal immigration. So he started raiding work sites, and his officers got trained by ICE to have immigration enforcement authorities, and they would do traffic stops and question people about their immigration status, and they'd go after day laborers. And actually, it became quite controversial very quickly. And when the Obama administration took office, they wound up revoking his immigration enforcement authority on the street, and also there were Latino drivers who felt that they had been racially profiled by these crackdowns, and they wound up suing him in federal court for racial profiling, and they eventually won. It's been a long and tangled legal process, but that court case is where this contempt issue stems from, which we can talk more about. But on the other hand, he gained a national profile and became very popular with another segment of the American population who really wanted to see more tough illegal immigration enforcement.
Yeah, I did want to get to that. By the way, just to be clear, Maricopa County, Arizona is the county that includes Phoenix, Glendale, and Scottsdale, Arizona. But speaking of that public profile as it relates to immigration enforcement, here is a clip of the then Sheriff Joe Arpaio speaking to ABC's George Stephanopoulos back in July of 2010.
They don't like what I'm doing. They don't like me to arrest those here in this country illegally. They'll concentrate on a border, but you know, it is a crime to be here illegally, and everybody should enforce that crime in the interior of the United States, including Arizona. So I hope that the cops, when they come across people, they arrest them if they're here illegally. I put up more tents. So I have plenty of room any violator.
That was Joe Arpaio speaking on ABC back in July of 2010. Jude, he seemed to kind of relish his status as this lightning rod. He didn't shy away from it, and he kind of, you know, he had this bring it on attitude about him.
Yeah, no, he certainly did. He was famous, you know, he really takes on the idea that he never backs down. That's one of his mantras, and it's one of the things that his fan base loves about him. And he was quite defiant when first the Obama administration's Department of Justice went after him and had a separate lawsuit against him. And he was very adamant that he wouldn't back down, even with the federal government coming after him. And you know, and I think the clip you played really gets to the heart of the debate surrounding his policing style, because it was really this question of what authority do local police, not federal immigration agents, but local police, have when enforcing immigration.
Right.
And Arpaio really took the stance that he did have broad authority, that he could use various Arizona state immigration-related laws to arrest people who had not committed any other crime, but who were suspected or known to be in the country unlawfully, take them into custody and then turn them over to ICE for deportation. A federal judge, as part of all this litigation over his policing practices, said, wait a second, as local police, you don't have that authority. That's reserved for the feds. You need to stop doing those kinds of immigration patrols. Yet Arpaio and his officers continued for 17 months, and that's why he was convicted in July for defying a judge and was found guilty of criminal contempt of court. That's the crime that Trump wants to pardon him for. Mm-hmm. And in the rally last night, you know, President Trump said to a cheering crowd, wasn't Arpaio just doing his job?
Well, since you brought that up, let's hear a little clip of what the president said last night in reference to Joe Arpaio. Listen.
By the way, I'm just curious. Do the people in this room like Sheriff Joe? Was Sheriff Joe convicted for doing his job? That's what. He should have had a jury, but you know what? I'll make a prediction. I think he's going to be just fine, okay? But I won't do it tonight because I don't want to cause any controversy. Is that okay? All right. But Sheriff Joe can feel good.
That was President Trump speaking at his rally yesterday in Phoenix. Valerie wrote on our Facebook page, I think Trump himself is dividing the country. It has become an us and them mentality. And until it stops, racism will be alive and well. Pardoning the former sheriff will make the divide worse. However, Zach tweeted, I wonder if the time has come to selectively ignore things Trump is doing. Pardoning Arpaio is only a publicity stunt. More important things to worry about. Jude Joffe Block, how is that playing today? Are people taking the president seriously, literally, none of the above?
Well, I mean, I think here in Maricopa County, the prospect of a pardon feels much more serious and immediate, perhaps, than it does in other parts of the country, because this legal battle with the sheriff has been so personal to so many people on the ground here. And so for a lot of Latino and immigrant rights activists, they feel like a pardon would be an endorsement of racial profiling, and that it would erase what the courts found and the basically make Arpaio above the law. And for them, that would be deeply troubling. On the other hand, for Arpaio's supporters here on the ground, you know, they feel like the former sheriff was mistreated by the justice system, that it wasn't fair that he was prosecuted for this, that it was part of an Obama administration political witch hunt that led him to be convicted in the first place. And so, you know, for them, it is important to see the president step in and take a stand on this. So I think here in Arizona, it is quite a big issue. I could see how nationally it does feel perhaps like, you know, just another distraction from other things that we could be talking about. But it's quite personal here.
And it's worth noting that Joe Arpaio does still have supporters in Arizona, including Renee. Renee commented on our Facebook page, the good sheriff has long been idolized by a majority of correctional employees across the country for his no-nonsense, pragmatic treatment of offenders. I'm sure I speak for many who say he should not be treated in this manner. I get where Renee's coming from in terms of being supportive of Joe Arpaio, but I kind of question the perspective of law enforcement across the country. And Jude, I'm not asking you to speak outside of your knowledge in terms of the country, but can you talk about Maricopa County? Is he still in favor with most people? Are most people ambivalent? Have people moved on?
Well, I think maybe in some ways it's for a lot of Republicans, it's maybe similar to the complicated dance with Trump, you know, that there's a base that is very much in favor. And then there's some folks in the middle who are maybe more skeptical. And then others, I think, in the Republican Party here who wound up not supporting him in this last 2016 election. We know that he lost support from his own party, and that's why he lost in double digits to a Democratic Democratic challenger, mm-hmm. there was a feeling here that the litigation over his policing practices had cost county taxpayers too much money. And that was one factor. He also, he was so controversial, he attracted his George Soros got involved in that race and gave money to his opponent and sort of heightened the profile of the whole race.
Before we have to let you go, Jude, I'm sorry, but our time is very short. Could you speak? I know you were outside the rally. How much was Joe Arpaio a factor in terms of what protesters were inveighing against? Were they mostly focused on the president, or did Joe Arpaio come up at all among the crowds outside briefly?
I think Arpaio was a big motivator for the crowds, but also Charlottesville. A lot of first-time protesters came out. They said that they wanted to make sure that they were on the right side of history, that they were upset with the way the president had addressed Charlottesville. And so that was really what drew them out. And they were also very much wanted to make clear that they were not in support of a pardon for Arpaio either.
Certainly many more questions to be asked about this, including the littlest burb who tweeted, "Ramifications for an Arpaio pardon? What could this do both to Trump's credibility with his political party and with the American people?" We'll see if we can't get to that question on the Friday News Roundup this week, depending on what happens, of course, with Joe Arpaio. Jude Joffe Block is a reporter based in Phoenix. Jude, thanks very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Still to come, we'll hear our conversation with Jeffrey Seller, the producer of Broadway blockbusters like Rent and Avenue Q and Hamilton. We'll talk to him about what draws him to a project and why he thinks we're in a golden age of Broadway musicals. I'm Joshua Johnson. Glad to be with you. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.